Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Today's reading is from John 3, verses 1 to 13. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." This is the word of God.
Good morning. Imagine with me, I've arranged a date night with Christy. And then I find out that I can get tickets to the footy. The dilemma. Do I go to the footy? May not work out that well for me if I choose to go to the footy and cancel our plans. Excellent question. If, though, I say no, I know what the right answer is here. I am not going to go to the footy. Instead, the martyr that I am going to spend this time with my wife. And then that whole game, I am only thinking about the footy. I'm checking the scores, and I'm getting more and more bitter towards this person that stopped me from doing what I love and going to the footy. Like 14 years ago, I stood on the stage around about here, and I gave some vows to Christy. And it wasn't that, so there's footy, and you need to know that you're going to be about here for all of my life. It was that she comes first. I made that declaration, but it is so easy for stuff to creep in that trumps what matters most. And it's so easy for us to get to a point where what should be an absolute delight becomes something that we don't enjoy. Because the thing is, in that situation, I have said no to something so I can say yes to something else, but really, I'm not focused on the yes at all. The only thing I'm focused on is the no that I've just proclaimed. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they are so distracted? They're not engaged with you at all. So physically, there's a bit of a yes from them, but they are more wrapped up in the thing that they're not doing. They're more wrapped up in the people they're not with than they are with you when you're there with them in that moment. I don't know if you had an experience at church where you think about something like the footy, or you think about something like what you're going to have for lunch. It may have happened once or twice with me. Probably has happened with yourself as well. How many times have you been sitting at the dinner table And then someone says, are you okay? And you catch yourself and you're like, oh, that's right. I was eating. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the Lord. I had this moment. I forgot that I was eating food. I was just totally absorbed with my Savior, my King. Anyone? It doesn't surprise me. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. We, as Christians, are so often known for what we stand against and what we say no to, aren't we? We're far more readily known for that. The things that are like, no, this is our no. We're not known for what we say yes to. Complete this verse if you can. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Christians are often known as people, oh yeah, we've got this moral standard and yeah, we don't get drunk because we're Christians. And we can get focused on the thing that we've said no to rather than going, oh my goodness, we are given this invitation to be filled with the Spirit of the living God to dominate our experience. Filled with the Spirit. Have His presence. We just sang before, let us become more aware of your presence. Let's not get so caught up in what we say no to that we forget what we've said yes to. We've got this question up on the screen, which you may have noticed. It says, why fast? And some lovely pineapples to go along with it. Fasting is one of these things that we get so caught up in the what we're saying no to that we totally miss what we're saying yes to. Another way of putting it is we forget the why or we forget the for because we're so caught up in the from. So we're fasting from food, but the only thing we're thinking about is food. When you fast for something with the intention of that being the dominant reality for you. I don't know if anyone's had an experience of fasting that goes a little bit like what I was describing about the footy thing with Christy, where it's like you know that you're supposed to be engaging with God, but the only thing you can think about is food. So consumed by the from that you miss the for. So consumed by the no that you miss the yes. We see it in the Ten Commandments. So there's a lot of don'ts in the Ten Commandments. One of them, do not murder. It's a good one, yeah? I'm happy that's in there. God commanded that we don't murder people. Why? Because He's for life. He's 100% pro-life. He wants people to live. That's why He said, don't kill them. There is a no in there because there's a far bigger yes. There's something worth preserving. There's something that we need to make sure people have access to. Life. Even the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Even that one. Let's put in the positive, but we still see it in the negative. Don't do stuff on a certain day of the week. We get so caught up in the no that we forget what it's actually for. It's like, oh, I can't do the stuff that I wanted to do if I'm going to have a Sabbath. God says, have your fill of work. 6 days, go nuts. Work, get stuff done. And then here's this day that I've set apart as holy where I want you. We get to hang out. Your focus is 100% on me. The Sabbath is not about us saying no to something as much as it is us saying yes to Him. This is the intention of God right from the start. This is old covenant stuff. And we're in the new covenant, and it's even better. We so often get into this mentality where we're focused on the no, and we bring that across to things like fasting. There's this interesting passage, Isaiah 58 talks about these people who are fasting and they end up like shaking their fists at God, like, why are we bothering fasting? It's like you don't even notice. And right there, you get to the heart of why they were fasting in the first place. So much of the time, we see things like fasting as a hunger strike. I will not be moved. God, you must do this or else. If my daughter comes to me and she's like, I'm not eating for 3 days unless you buy me a phone. She's not getting a phone. I love her, but she's not getting a phone. As we continue to read through this, it's like they're thinking that fasting is for God. It's like they're thinking that them fasting was this great benefit to God. My daughter comes to me and says that she's fasting for any reason. That's of no benefit to me. Maybe food bill, but it's of no, I want her healthy more than I want that extra money. It's of no benefit to me if she tells me that she's fasting. It's like, okay, I'm showing you my great love for you by fasting for 3 days. I'm like, I'd rather you eat. As we continue this passage, we discover more about it, though, where God says, this is the fast that I want. After he said, you know, you're like, oh, we fast and you don't even see it. God responds, it's like, in the day of your fast, you're oppressing people. In the day of your fast, you're still just about you. It's just that you're not eating. This is the fast that I choose. This is the fast that I approve. That you loose the bonds of the oppressed. That you share your bread with the hungry. My daughter comes to me and says, I didn't eat lunch today because there's this kid in my class who didn't have breakfast and had no food with them, and so I gave them mine. I am boasting to anyone that will listen about my daughter who gets it. Her fasting is about the for more than it is about the from. She's fasting for someone else to eat. Yeah, she's fasting from food, but it's so they can eat. She has the right perspective. And perspective is a game changer, isn't it? Or if she came to me and said, Dad, I've decided I'm going to fast. I'm no longer going to eat rocks. You ate rocks? I didn't even know this. I'm stoked that she's no longer putting something into her system that's harmful. That is a good fast. Some of you can see where I'm going with this. We have a father that's so much better than me. He loves you. We don't fast to get his attention. We fast because we have his attention. I'll unpack that in a little while. I know it's confusing. This is not about us trying to get him to love us. We don't fast for any of those reasons. We don't fast because food is evil. Food is good. It is given to us as a gift for us to enjoy. But we fast because Jesus is worth it. Fasting is for us more than it is for him. It's not a demonstration to him that he needs to see, but it's for us. So I fast because he speaks. He has spoken and he continues to speak. Start of Hebrews tells us that he's spoken to us through the prophets and whatnot, but in the last days, he has spoken to us through his son. So it is true that he has spoken. But it is also true that he continues to speak. But here's the thing. He is so much better at speaking than I am at listening. Do you know why I struggle to listen? Because there's so much other noise that's going on around the place. There are so many other voices. Or you could say it like this. I am not hungry for God because I'm so full of the world. There's so much other stuff. You don't notice that you're missing the most important thing of all, because there's so much else to consume you. These things that we consume end up consuming us so much of the time. We don't have space to hear his voice because there's too much that's going on. So fasting is about saying, this thing that is currently a part of my life that doesn't need to be part of my life, I'm actually taking out for a season so I can focus on him. We actually last a fairly long time without food. Yeah, we need it. And this is not about, I'm going to be totally free from food and be a breatharian or something. This is about having space in our life. And yes, it's about food, but it is about many other things as well. Many people in this room have done things like, I'm not going to do social media during Lent and things like that. Because you're saying, here's a thing that has actually taken up a lot of my time and meant I haven't been hearing what God is saying. God speaks. Let's be people who listen. So first up, I fast because I want to hear. Second up, it's possible to hear what God is saying and totally misinterpret it. Have no clue. We just heard that passage that Sarah read to us from John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. He's listening to every word. He could probably recount every word that Jesus said, but he has no idea what it means. We can totally misinterpret what God says. Think of it this way. If your whole world is money, like 23.5 by 7, you are money, 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 right? And then half an hour a week, I'm going to focus on God for this half an hour. You bring that perspective of money, 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 money into the half an hour where you look at the Bible. That's a hard place to interpret from because that's your grit, that's your filter. But if you've just shifted from doing 24/7 to 23.5/7, you're heading in the right direction. And that's good. That's a good thing. You start to see things shift. But we need to actually have God in our life to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does, reveal scripture. We need to have space for that. So we fast so we can hear. We also fast so that we can understand what he's doing. You see that quite a bit in John's gospel. So John 3, that's the thing with Nicodemus. John 4, you have the woman at the well, and Jesus is saying stuff, and she's just like, oh, so living water. I'll never have to drink again. I don't have to come to this well anymore. And she's not getting what he's speaking about. And then we even see it in chapter 5. You have this healing of this man at the well, and then there's this guy, he's suddenly totally cured. He can walk. He hasn't walked for 38 years, and then he can walk, and he's carrying his mat. And there's these people who go, you shouldn't be carrying your mat. Who told you to do that? The man who healed me, so he's speaking the words, the man who healed me told me to carry my mat. They totally miss the fact that he's been healed and go, he told me to carry my mat. That's the only thing that they go with. We need to understand what God is saying and focus on what matters most, not get distracted by things that offend us. In chapter 6, speaking of offense, Jesus just goes for it. He's just fed the 5,000, and then he says, so you've eaten that bread. Now it's time to feast on me. There's like 6 verses in a row where every single verse, he clears it up. Yeah, eat my flesh. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. People are like, whoa, steady up. Then he says it again. Like, seriously, Jesus, one more time. And he says it again. They leave. So many left at that point. But here's what Jesus is getting at. He's not saying we actually sink our teeth into him. But for us, food and drink are pretty much going to happen every day, aren't they? We're going to eat and we're going to drink. And he says to us, I am more foundational than that. So much of the time we have a big list of things. And if we're going to be okay, we need all these things to have been true. So we wake up from our nice comfy bed. Check social media, make sure the world's okay. We have our nice warm shower. We drink our coffee. We have our yummy breakfast. We enjoy our air conditioning. As long as those things are okay, I'm okay. Jesus is saying, I am more foundational than all those things. I got prayed for by a lovely lady this morning, Margaret. She was telling me how she starts every day by inviting the Holy Spirit to come and take her by the hand. That's how she starts today. Take me by the hand. She's like, I love to have at least an hour with my Lord in the morning. Start the day. That's how she rolls. There's an invitation there for every one of us that we don't start with those other things that we think are essential. We start with Him. He is more foundational than any of those things. These things that feel like comfort, like winter and you put on a scarf. Oh, there's the scarf of the right amount of money in my bank. Oh, there's the scarf of having my morning coffee. There's the scarf of having my 8:30 coffee. There's the scarf of my not. We have all these things, and it's like we're putting on this comfort, but we're putting on bonds around our neck. These things can be good things that God has given us graciously, but we're like, if I don't have them, I'm not okay. That's not okay. That's why we fast, because what Jesus offers us and gives us so freely is more important than these other things. Do you know what He offers us? We're told that we have confidence to enter into the holy place because of the blood of Jesus. So this thing that one person could do once a year under the old covenant, every single one of you has access to, and not just as we sheepishly go in. We have confidence. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in, I love the King James, I will come in and sup with Him and He with me. We get to sup with Jesus. That was not written as an invitation for people that hadn't yet received Jesus. That was written to the church in Laodicea. This is Christians who are leaving Jesus saying, I'm knocking at your door. We're not fellowshipping. We're not sharing communion together. Jesus invites us into intimate relationship with Him every second of every day. That's the invitation that is made to you. And we're like, oh, I'll just sit on the couch. I'll just watch this screen for a few more hours. He invites us into His work in the world. He invites us to partner with Him in the Great Commission, in rescuing people, that they would be discipled, baptized, taught. This is what He calls us into. Purpose. We have been saved and called with a holy calling, not according to what we have done, but according to His purpose and grace. Do you know when He set that up? Before time began. Is there anyone here that cares? Seriously. Is there anyone here who's like, I want more than what I have right now? I want to make the most of the intimacy that He calls me into. Is there anyone here in that category that wants to step more into that this year than you have before? If that's you, this is not the end of the message, don't get too excited, but stand to your feet. If you're like, I actually want more, and I'm going to stand up right now and make that declaration. Hallelujah. If not only do you want more intimacy with Him, but you want to know Him better, but you're like, I want to be of better service. I actually want to be someone who causes other people to be set free because I know that He is in me and He works through me. Put your hands in the air and wave them around like you don't care. This is you. That is awesome. I love that waving around. This is just a chance to activate and say, yes, I want this. There's something about the physical that makes a difference. You are saying yes by standing to your feet. Sometimes it's good to use positive peer pressure, isn't it, as well? You're saying yes. You stood and you said, yes, I want to know Him better. I want to make the most of the fact that He calls me into His presence every single day. I want to be like Margaret, who says, take me by the hand this morning, Lord. Let's hang out together. We want to be like that. So we can hear Him. So we can understand what it is that He's saying. You guys can take a seat now if you'd like to. We can hear Him. We can understand what He's saying. But we also want to obey Him. It's one thing to hear it and to understand it. There are so many explicit commands in Scripture. There are so many times we're told to do stuff and we don't have any doubt of what we're told to do. But the lack is in our obedience. Third reason that we fast is to obey. And there is a sense where Jesus did sort of expect fasting. He said, you know, when you give, when you pray, when you fast in Matthew 6. So there's kind of an expectation there that it would happen. But it's a bigger thing when it comes to obedience. You are the servant of the one that you obey. None of us needs to eat today. I'm just going to back this up or prelude it by saying, I don't want any of you to feel guilty about eating today. I had a guy come up to me after the first service and was like, that was a good word, but didn't work. I was like, I'd only met him once before. I didn't know that he was having a go at me. And he's like, look at them all. They're just like running out to eat food. And I was like, oh, good one. Good one. My purpose is not to make you feel guilty when you eat food today. But the reality is none of us need to eat today. We will be okay if we don't eat today. But what do? We respond to our stomach. And our stomach controls us. So we have this emotion that tells us, oh, I need to eat. Oh, I guess I better eat then. We respond to that. And so much of the time, that is a good thing. It is a good thing to eat. All right, please don't hear me say that it's not. It is healthy. I want you to be healthy. However, there are many times when you have the choice between eating something and doing something that is kingdom-minded, something that Jesus is calling you to do in that moment. Classic example is the last Tim Tam that someone else could eat. But there are so many times that we respond to what we feel as opposed to what is right. And by fasting, we're saying, I don't need to respond to what I feel like doing right now. I choose to respond to what God is telling me to do. God gives us everything to enjoy, but we are not to be mastered by anything. Paul says in Philippians, I've learned to be content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. So you can be hungry and you can be content. You can be living in want and you can be content. But you know what's often harder? Having a full stomach and being content. Living in plenty and being content. There's this thing that happens where you're all familiar with the concept of an appetizer, right? You can be not that hungry and you get an appetizer and suddenly you are starving. You want more food. Having a little bit makes you want more. Or for parents, like we know that giving our kids what they want is not necessarily going to go lead towards greater satisfaction. You introduce something and so often they want more. We start with something and then we want more. I want to encourage you to use this to your advantage. So this is true of food, but it is true of spiritual realities as well. So just like with food, you have a little bit and it can make you want more. You might be sitting there going, I would much rather eat and then not worry about any of this stuff that you're talking about. This is an opportunity for you to have an appetizer and go, something like what a friend of mine was telling me about yesterday. So he had this habit of, he had a 2-hour window in his day, I think once a week, and so he would come home before his wife, 2 hours to do with what he pleased. And so he would just watch a movie. That was his go-to thing, to sit down, enjoy watching a movie. And then he's had this restlessness. He's like, I don't want to keep going along with the way things have been going. I want something to shift. And so I'm going to swap out my 2-hour movie with worship. Simple. But he said there was this struggle. So, you know, 5 minutes into his time of playing the guitar and worshiping God, he's just like, I just want to watch a movie. And so he chose to push through. But you know what? Even if you went, my pattern is to watch a 2-hour movie, but I'm going to start by reading the Bible. And that first day was 2 minutes, and then you watch the movie. Praise God. That's 2 minutes that you wouldn't have spent previously. Next day could be 3. The next day could be 4. It starts with something. It starts with you taking an appetizer. And you are setting aside something else in order to focus on Him. Because often what we do is say, oh no, I'm just going to say no to this thing. And we don't replace it with something better. If I just want to go to the footy and and don't want to spend time with my wife, I have forgotten how wonderful she is. Any time that we find ourselves not wanting to spend time with God, do you know you can redeem that moment and go, praise the Lord, I want something more than I want God. I don't have a clue who He is. Because if I know who He is, He's all I want. If I actually know what He's like, I don't care about anything else. So it's an invitation in that moment where you realize you don't have a clue. It's an invitation to experience so much more. Paul's pretty intense, right? I like this Paul. The Apostle Paul is pretty intense, yeah? He says at one point, in at least one translation, I beat my body and I make it my slave. I don't know if you get images of Fight Club in that moment. I beat my body and I make it my slave. He's saying, I discipline myself. God speaks. I don't fast to get His attention, but I discipline myself because I know there are so many things that would pull me away from Him. There are so many distractions. And I choose to discipline my body and practice saying no to other stuff so I can say a massive yes to God. We don't fast to have more of Him in us. We just fast so that we can hear Him better, obey Him better, and share Him with the world around us that is hurting and is in so much need. And something has to shift. As we look around us, there is so much need. And we can so easily just walk past people in need. But if we hear Him, understand Him, and obey Him, we're His hands and His feet, and we minister to people as they have need. What a privilege. What an opportunity. I'm going to pray. I invite you to join me. Thank you, Jesus, that You have set us free. Thank You that You died in our place. Thank You that it's not a case of You died for us, therefore we have to fast for You. Thank You that You died for us and You have paid the price. You didn't loan us the money. You paid our debt. We're not trying to pay it back with stuff. But we have been invited to partner with You in Your amazing work here in the world. And we say, come and take my hand. Let's do this together. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.